A pop trio that sang in three-part harmony every chance they got was Peter, Paul and Mary. Lots of groups sing in three-part harmony in a style called close harmony. Peter, Paul and Mary sang a slightly different kind of harmony that is difficult to describe, but they seem to be more correct from a classical viewpoint. This tune, written by Gordon Lightfoot, is called In the Early Morning Rain. Listen for the reference to big 707 set to go. These days, of course, the most common large aircraft is the Boeing 777. Is a movement by Haydn, Franz Joseph Haydn, the first movement of Divertimento No. 2, Opus 100. A divertimento is an alternative word for sonata played by several instruments. Sonata means something that is played rather than sung. A divertimento means a diversion, which means background music, in contrast to concert music. Paid musicians played music of this sort while a dinner was going on or during a party. One hopes that they were fed before they were asked to play. I saw this one being played on YouTube by an interesting group called Sonic Escape, who had given a concert at Elmira College. I wrote asking for permission to play their performance, but haven't heard from them yet. So this is a performance by Mstislav Rostropovich, Jean-Pierre Rampal on flute, and Isaac Stern on violin. By the way, in case you didn't know, Franz Joseph Haydn was the composer of the German national anthem, which I'll probably play for you sometime. And in Elmira is the birthplace of Samuel Clemens, who wrote under the name of Mark Twain, the author of Huckleberry Finn. This next item is not so much a piece with three voices or three instruments, but rather an instance where three entire tunes are combined together. It is a well-known piece if you've had a music appreciation course in school, but even if you have, you might have slept through the story because it's a little more complicated than anyone is really ready to absorb at the best of times. The opera, The Master Singers of Nuremberg, is about a singing guild in the 16th century free city of Nuremberg. It is a free city, which meant that they had an elected council and they were really into rules and laws. After all, that's how self-government proceeds, right? Rules and laws. Their singing guild also had very strict rules and laws, but they really churned out great songs for the time. They had an annual competition open to only the members. But this young fellow is visiting and falls in love with the daughter of the president of the guild, Eve. But the president had said that Eve would either marry the winner of the competition that year or remain unmarried forever. When the young visitor finds out, he wants to join the guild in the worst way, and the story from here on is complicated to say the least. The overture, on the face of it, is just a collection of tunes from the opera. Three of the tunes are the master singer's tune. The rules and regulations tune. That sounds pretty distinctive, and you'd think that you could recognize that easily, but unfortunately, when the tunes are combined, that those pounding, big, repeated hammer chords are not heard quite in the same way, because he doubles the speed and plays them some octaves higher. So it sounds a little bit different. So he's making fun of the music. The last tune he adds is the prize song, which is the love theme of the opera. And the original love theme is in triple time, but he uses a four by four version of the love theme. And here's the original love theme in triple time. With that love song, with that prize song, Walter, our boy, wins admission to the guild and the competition and the girl all in one shot, much to the joy of the young lovers and general consternation all round. To end the overture, Richard Wagner combines all three tunes, can you imagine this, to be played at the same time. The rules and regulations theme is played high in the trumpets and violins and at double speed, making fun of rules and regulations generally. The prize song is in the horns and the cellos, and the Meistersinger theme is in the bass with tubas and double basses. And all around all three tunes is a rich accompaniment of all three tunes, like styrofoam peanuts, making sure everything is carefully kept protected. It is a tour de force of orchestral technique that has never been equaled. Here's the Slovak Philharmonic Orchestra playing the conclusion to the overture of the Master Singers of Nuremberg, the opera by Richard Wagner. Thank you. William Walton wrote a ballet suite called The Wise Virgins, which consisted of music all taken from the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. This one, entitled See What His Love Can Do, is actually a trio. It's number 8 in the ballet, and it is based on a tenor aria from Cantata number 85, BWV 85, and is for tenor, violin, and bass. But the tenor part is divided between the flute and the oboe, which is actually so effective that I can't imagine it done any other way. So theoretically, it's in 4 parts. This is a performance by Bryden Thompson and the London Philharmonic. On the off chance that you might be wondering how it sounds with the melody at the tenor pitch, here is a brief idea of that with the tune played by the viola. Few of my listeners will recognize the name of Tom Lehrer after so many years of Republican administration on the one hand and conservative opinions out of Harvard on the other hand. Tom Lehrer was an instructor in mathematics in the 60s at Harvard, but what he really liked to do was sing patter songs at the piano. He was most certainly not PC, and this is one of his least PC songs, Alma, making fun of a lady who was married to Gustav Mahler at one time, then married to Walter Gropius, and finally to Franz Werfel. Before we hear any disparagement of Alma Mahler Werfel, I must tell you that Ms. Mahler Werfel seems to have been an accomplished composer, and a quick search on Amazon will turn up at least 3 discs featuring her works. This track is taken from a live TV performance in Europe, I believe in Stockholm.
The loveliest girl in Vienna was Alma, the smartest as well. Once you picked her up on your antenna, you'd never be free of her spell. Her lovers were many and varied. From the day she began her begin, there were 3 famous ones whom she married, and God knows how many between. Alma, tell us, all modern women are jealous. Which of your magical wands got you Gustav and Walter and Franz? First one she married was Mahler, whose buddies all knew him as Gustav, and each time he saw her he'd holler, "Ach, that is the Fräulein I must have." Their marriage, however, was murder. He'd scream to the heavens above, "I'm writing das Lied von der Erde, and she only wants to make love." Alma, tell us, all modern women are jealous. You should have a statue in bronze for bagging Gustav and Walter and Franz. While married to Gus, she met Gropius, and soon she was swinging with Walter. Gus died and her teardrops were copious. She cried all the way to the altar, but he would work late at the Bauhaus and only came home now and then. She said, "What am I running? A chow house? It's time to change partners again." Alma, tell us, all modern women are jealous. Though you didn't even use pawns, you got Gustav and Walter and Franz. While married to Walt, she'd met Werfel, and he too was caught in her net. He married her, but he was careful, 'cause Alma was no Bernadette. And that is the story of Alma, who knew how to receive and to give the body that reached her embalma, who was one that had known how to live. Alma, tell us, how can they help being jealous? Ducks always envy the swans who get Gustav and Walter. You never did falter with Gustav and Walter and Franz.
Well, that concludes this week's program, and I hope you enjoyed it. This is Arch, that's short for Archimedes, and hoping that you'll join me again next week.